welcome back to another episode of You, the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram and TikTok at You, the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or join one of our support groups. January support groups start this week, and I am so excited to be sitting with some of you in that space. I also launched the Estrangement Project last week, and today I'm sitting with Maggie Nick, my co-founder of the Estrangement Project, with her revolutionary insights on healing low self-worth. Therapist and parenting expert, Maggie Nick can help you understand yourself in a profound and healing level so you can be the parent you need to be for your child and your inner child. Maggie is the founder of Parenting with Perspectacles, a framework to support parents of toddlers to teens in finding their way through the hardest, most impossible moments of parenting by providing them with tools to help both their child and their inner child feel seen and loved. Maggie teaches parents how to get perspectacles on and see through their child's triggering behaviors, allowing them to connect on a deep and profound level. Maggie is proud to help parents see their own struggles as an opportunity to show their kids how to navigate life as messy, imperfect, and wonderful humans. In today's episode, we talk about the Estrangement Project and just how freaking hard it is to even consider having to cut off your own mother. This road of estrangement has been one of the hardest roads I've ever walked. I think I can speak for the other members of the Estrangement Project that it is so brutal. And if you are walking this road, just know you are not alone. We are four experts in this area, and we also have been on this journey. The Estrangement Project includes 15 on-demand mobile-friendly videos that you can watch as many times as you want, covering every angle you could think about navigating the painful mind F of estrangement and healing the mother wound. With 15 videos about why she's unable to be the mother you need, how to work through the fallout within your family, and how to heal the mother wound and fear of abandonment. This is really hard. It's complicated and painful. You're not crazy. You are brave, and we see you. So I hope that you enjoy today's episode, but I really hope that you go and find us over on the Estrangement Project. I will be linking it in the description of this podcast. Doors do close on January 15th, so be sure to run and grab your seat. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me, and I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Maggie, welcome to You, the Mother podcast. I am so excited that you are joining me here, especially to be chatting about this really fun topic of estrangement.
Oh, we're going to get into it. Thank you for having me, friend.
Maggie, we are launching the Estrangement Project this week.
And yeah, we are.
It is such a labor of love because both of us are walking the road of estrangement. We're both on our own healing journey and together with Dr. Deering and Michaela Tyson, who are also on that journey as well. We have created this 15 video just healing love bubble, and you all will feel so seen in these videos. It is something that I wish I had at the beginning of my healing journey. I know I speak for Maggie, Dr. Deering, and Michaela as well. Just such a labor of love, and we are so excited to finally launch this. Maggie, thanks for being my partner through this whole process, and tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh my goodness. It's been such a joy to work with you, friend. Yeah. So I am a survivor of pretty extensive childhood abuse, walking the road of estrangement from my mother and most of my family. I'm a therapist. I specialize in low self-worth and all the ways it can show up, like feeling like you're never good enough, perfectionism, people pleasing, needing to control everything, having to numb all of your hard feelings, self-hatred, inability to set boundaries, like all the things. And so I'm actually no longer seeing clients for counseling. This fall, I transitioned full-time to working my Maggie with Perspectacles work, where I teach parents about parenting and reparenting kind of at the same time. I help parents heal themselves and actually I have a lot of non-parents too. But I help, my goal is to help you recognize how to be the parent you needed mm-hmm. by figuring out what you needed and then learning how to push through the parts of you that are damaged or unhealed from childhood so that you can actually raise kids who do feel good enough and who don't feel like they need to be perfect and all of that. And who don't have to numb all of their heart feelings and be 30 years old in therapy like I was. Yeah. Asking my therapist to teach me how to feel my feelings.
Raising my hand right there with you, Maggie. You know, I know so much of our stories like overlap and each healing journey and everybody's story is so unique and their own at the same time. And I think that that's why these spaces are so needed, because they can feel so isolating and alone, and they are kind of lonely. So lonely. It is individual and my own, right? Mm-hmm. So I do want to have like a conversation today around what is estrangement? How did we get here, right? Mm-hmm. And I know I previously did an episode with you where we talked about our parents not being able to show up for us the way that we needed them to. And that was an equally wonderful conversation that I'll be linking in the description of this podcast. But I want to kind of talk about the mind F of having to cut off your own mom. Yeah. It is a mind F, right?
So many mind Fs.
Yeah. So what are some mind Fs for you?
Wow. I mean, I think One of them that comes right to mind,
yeah,
as a human, and then there's like a parent element to this, but like you need your mom. Mm-hmm. Like you're just biologically wired to need her, to seek her approval, right? To need to know that you matter to her. We're biologically wired for that. And so, you know, when we're going through a situation where we're realizing, oh God, this relationship is not serving me. And despite attempt after attempt after attempt after attempt after attempt to talk about you've hurt me in these ways, and just to get like you're making this up, or it didn't happen that way, or I never did that, or you're being dramatic, you're being crazy, your therapist made that one up. I got that one time. You know, at some point you kind of come to this place where you're like, oh my God, yeah, like this, I can't do this anymore. Like at some point you realize that your future depends on your ability to cut out this toxic element.
Yeah.
And like so much of your suffering is around trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. And so I think it's such a mind F to like not want to need our mother, but to desperately need her. Mm-hmm. And like having to walk away from your own mother is just, it is the hardest thing I've ever done.
It's the hardest thing I've ever done too.
Well, and then try to be a parent.
Right.
And like, kind of deeply knowing what I need, what I needed and what I need, and trying to give that to my kids, and it doesn't come naturally, and you're like, I feel like it should, but then it doesn't because that's not what you got. Mm-hmm. Just coming face to face with like, I deserve this, but I got this, and like, it feels really good to give it to my kid, but damn, it hurts. Hurts mm-hmm. to like realize, oh boy, I got that. Like, how is it possible that I was treated that poorly? And never apologize to, never, you know, nobody ever, my mother was not able to see that she hurt me and acknowledge the impact and apologize.
Yeah.
Like ever once in my whole life.
Yeah. Same.
So many mind offs.
I know. So many mind offs, you know, and I think that once you add this motherhood role on top of this inner child wounding, this mother wound that you're walking through, it is a whole other mind F, because I look at my children and I just like, I can't wrap my head around it, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that that's the difference, you know, we'll kind of talk about navigating some maybe shame or judgment that you might get from family members, friends, society. But I think that it's really important to recognize that when I can't even wrap my head around my own situation, you know, and how right. I've been treated. And I think that that's why it's so hard for others to wrap their head around adult children that have to go no contact with a parent, with their mother.
Yeah.
But she's your mother. And it's yeah. like, I know she's my mm-hmm. mother.
Yeah.
As their mother, I could never.
No.
I could never give my little people the silent treatment. I could never go long periods of time without talking to them.
Yeah.
I could never know that I hurt them and not say sorry.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
You know?
And refuse or be unwilling to try to see the pain I cause. Even if it's – I mean, sometimes when I have to apologize to my kids, it feels like crawling over glass. I mean,
yeah. It's definitely not easy. Right.
It's not like it's easy. Like, it's so fucking hard every time. But, like, also one of the most important things I will ever do. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's so hard.
My life would be completely different if I had a parent that was able to say sorry.
Yep.
Or just acknowledge anything that happened to me, you know?
What would our lives be like? I think it's like so far past horrifying that it's like unconscionable.
Yeah.
The way that we were treated.
Yeah.
And then to continue to be the bad guy. Like, that's the thing that I just sometimes, I'm just parts of me that are still pissed about that.
Yeah.
Like I was treated like this. And you go through the, like, was it real? Did I make this up? And then trauma, like, I had my hair fall out for 9 months mm-hmm. when I had a trauma activation in my hair. I lost like 60% of my hair.
Right.
And like, I was terrible, but like, it's like, yep, it was real. And yet none of my family gets it.
You're the villain.
I'm the villain.
I'm the bad one. Yeah.
And like, that's how it will probably always be.
Yeah.
So like, we've gone through this whole thing. And then we're still the bad guy somehow. Like, our family of origin just will never see. And that just sucks.
It does suck. You know, so let's kind of talk, let's stay on that topic, I think, of the fallout in our own family, when our family is judging us, when we're not seen or understood, which I think is just such a basic human need, you mm-hmm. know, one for people who are on this journey, who are in the same bucket that you and I are in. Have maybe never received from our caregiver.
Yeah.
And it's painful. It's really painful to be in such excruciating pain to be, you know, for me, I'm a fighter in my family. I was always the namer, the loud one, like, hey, mm-hmm. hey, this isn't right. Hey, mm-hmm. dangerous. Hey, mm-hmm. let's not do this. And I was always the crazy person,
mm-hmm.
Always the problem. And here I am in my adulthood, you know, screaming out like, hey, what's happening to me is really, really horrible. What my children are going through is really, really horrible. And it's still just, why are you talking about this?
Right.
Why are people go through this crazy?
Right. Family is everything, Abby.
Family is everything.
How dare you?
She's your mother. You need to apologize. You just need to suck it up and go along to get along.
I just
don't think that other people don't understand how bad it gets for some.
Right.
This is the last option, you know. I don't think that this was – obviously, this was not our first option to go estranged from any family member.
Why would you do this?
Especially your mother.
Right. Yeah. We wouldn't walk through this fire if there was any other option on the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's torture.
So, Maggie, how have you kind of navigated some of the fallout or the judgment or shame, or I guess what would be some advice that you would give to people who are – on that.
Dealing with that.
Yeah.
With their family not getting it.
Yeah.
One thing that my therapist said to me that early on, like, I had seen my therapist 2 times before mm-hmm. the unforgivable incident 11 years ago where I cut my mom off for the first time. And we've never really fully recovered. And I was so hurt because my family didn't get it. And they were blaming me. And my therapist said these words to me. And it just felt like, I don't know, like you're having had a glass of water to drink in 12 years, like one of those moments of just like profoundly quenching this part of me that was hurting so bad. And I've seen this play out with so many other clients that I've worked with in counseling and coaching, that like so much of the time our family members are in this place of la la land. You know, they haven't had the benefit, or they haven't chosen or felt like they were brave enough or whatever to go to therapy. And so they're in this place of like white knuckling and trying to keep the status quo, because mm-hmm. like rocking the boat feels terrifying, right? It was terrifying.
Yeah,
it was a threat to our survival in childhood. And I would argue it feels like a threat to your survival still in adulthood to rock the boat in this way. And so I think sometimes our family members will gaslight us and they'll tell us it's us, because if they allowed any credence to what we're saying, then that profoundly and fundamentally impacts their relationship with our mother.
Yeah.
Right? That's their wife, that's their mom, that's their sister, whatever. And as long as they can make it about us, then they get to just stay in this place where they feel safe. Mm-hmm. Right? And they're not safe. Just a thing we're screaming and nobody's hearing. But I think there are a lot of people that are unable or unwilling to heal and to face the truth here. And it feels safer. Parts of them are very invested in trying to keep them safe by just keeping their mouth shut and not rocking the boat. And so every now and then I'll have a client, or, you know, with our friendship, I'll just have this moment to kind of see what I've been through someone else's journey. And I'm like, damn, like how brave to be the one person in the family to just be like, I don't give a fuck what you think about me.
Right.
I don't care if you think I'm high maintenance or dramatic. I don't care. I'm choosing me, y'all. Like, I don't have to put up with this nonsense, and I'm not going to. So you feel how you feel, and I'll be over here. Like, how brave to step up to your whole family knowing that you're going to be villainized, knowing they're not going to get it. And like, to hold that boundary. Like, oh, I texted you the other day. I was listening to the song When You Believe. I need to send it to you.
Yeah.
By Pentatonix with Maren Morris. But there's this line in there. She says, there can be miracles when you believe. When hope is frail, it's hard to kill. And like, I sobbed through that song the other day, and my daughter was in the car, and she's like, Mom, are you okay? And I was like, I am. I just needed to have a little cry. And I just was like, holy shit. Like, what? I am, like, I believed that I deserved a healthy family system, and I didn't want to have to cut off my mother, but I did. And like, damn, that was really brave. You know, I've just had my head down trying to survive for so long, really hadn't kind of turned back around and been like, wow, you know. But I think there's something so powerful about like believing that you deserve peace, and believing that you deserve a relationship with your mother that feels safe. And when there isn't one, and the only option is to cut her off, to believe that you deserve whatever it takes to be in peace.
Yeah.
And to like not have to be in a relationship that feels like a threat to your survival.
Yeah.
Like, how powerful is that?
It's so powerful, I think, to be able to finally choose yourself for the first time when nobody chose you. And now you're saying, no, I deserve more than this. I deserve people that show up for me and love me and are safe for me. And those people come on the other side of healing.
They do.
You know,
wilderness, as Brené calls it.
Yeah. It is really hard though, right? And so I think, you know, when I'm listening to you talk, I like start kind of thinking of, you know, different events for me when I'm like, gosh, that was brave. But I think that the word brave sounds like this really powerful, empowered word, right?
Mm.
And it is brutal and beautiful, right? It is brutal.
Brutal, yeah.
But I think like when you are making those choices of going no contact, limiting contact, setting boundaries, being the villain, and still choosing yourself, you are going to be beaten down a little, a lot. You know, it is really, really brutal. I feel like I'm sitting here kind of thinking about different times of my life right now. And I'm just like, it's a grieving process. Mm-hmm. It's so much work. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, on social media and in a lot of these spaces right now, you know, healing journey, healing, like these are all big buzzwords. Mm-hmm. And I do very much believe that there is a lot of beauty on the other side of that healing journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we talk enough about kind of the messy parts that are in between of making those decisions, holding them, getting through it, getting to that other side where you're like, oh my gosh, I am getting better. I'm doing better. I'm showing up better in my marriage, with my children, for myself, the people that are around me. I'm making more you know, conscious decisions on who and what I'm spending my energy on. And they are things that I actually like, you know, yes. I'm finding me for maybe the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And, but the road to get there is so messy. It's so hard. You can't do it alone.
No.
You know?
No, I mean, I think I had a couple friends who had been in my life for a long time and had a sense of my mother and her flavors of relating to people. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't get it from a place of I'm going through that or I've been through that. But they were supportive. And that was a huge gift. But then therapy is what saved me. I mean, just to have this space, like my husband was supportive from day one. Like, you know, I feel like he sided with me without villainizing her. You know, like he really did a nice job of like, I don't need you to hate her. I need you to hate the impact she's had, you know, and like help me heal and believe that I deserve these boundaries and like be the voice of reason. And he did a great job. But therapy was the only place that I felt like I could let my full guard down and say the words I needed to say and have my incredible therapist, Sharon, say, yeah, that makes sense. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not crazy. That is real. I mean, at one point I was going, that first 11 years ago, I cut off my mother for 2 years. And I'm pretty sure I went to therapy three times a week during that time. Three times a week. Because I just, it was like, and that probably wasn't enough. Like, it was the only place I really could cry because I was so in childhood just conditioned that like wasn't safe to cry. And so it was like this special space that I walked into and like my body felt safe to release there.
Yeah.
And I shudder to think where I would be today or how I would be if I hadn't had that. I mean, it saved my life for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I like think back to the beginning of my journey and, you know, I know you and I are like friends off air and share a lot of our stories. But, you know, I had like a recent thing that kind of came up and having to tell somebody, you know, I'm not going back there. I will do anything and everything in my power to protect where I am right now because I can't go back there for me and I can't go back there being a mother of four.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
You know, I need to stay here and my children need a mom.
And again, the word, I'm obsessed with the word deserve.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked for so many years was like, why don't I believe I deserve love? I mean, I'm 15 years of trauma therapy and like only in last year has it started to be like, oh, because I was made to feel like I didn't deserve love when I displeased my mother. Okay, there it is. When I'm not perfect, when I'm not thin, when I'm not delightful, when I'm not making her happy.
And you I feel get like the I silent don't deserve treatment and you are a bad girl.
Yes. And so understanding that, I've kind of obsessed with this idea of like what I do deserve and what my children deserve. And I use that word all the time. And like, there's so many things that we deserve and waking up to that and really being able to wrap your heart around, like, I deserve safe people. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that happened to me about, I don't know, 2 years ago, probably at this point, I started having a really kind of violent reaction internally. Anytime we had any interaction with my mother, FaceTime, a text, I like would get a migraine that would come on within like 10 minutes. My stomach would, I'd all of a sudden feel like I needed to throw up. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that finally kind of gave me the courage to go ahead. And like, I was sort of like, okay, like you guys can face my kids. You can FaceTime her if you want. Like, I'm no pressure for me, but if you want to, like, I'll just be over here, you know, but still feeling the, like, feel like I need to pop my head in and say hi, you know? And then it just, over the course of a couple months, every time I would get a text or an email or any kind of anything, it was like, my body was like screaming at me. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like you're this, it, our bodies think in terms of stress response, in terms of survival. It's like, this is a bear. Right? Any ongoing stressors, a bear. And my body was like, this bear nearly mauled us to death over and over again. Like, why are we sitting down to have tea with this bear? Like, what the hell are you doing? And like, if you're not going to get out, then I'm going to force you out. Like, I'm going to force you to run out of this room and throw up if that's what it takes to get you out of here. And it was so powerful to wake up to that, that my body was on my side and desperately trying to tell me, like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud that I was able to do that. I guess Allie, my oldest, was like 6. She was starting to pick up. She's very perceptive, just like her mama, and very observant. And she was starting to notice the pattern. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so proud that I was able, not that I would feel ashamed if I wasn't, but I'm proud that as I started to recognize this, I made the cut. And was like, I will not model this shit for my kids.
Yeah.
Will not.
Yeah.
Like, if my body's screaming at me, I'm going to listen to my body and I'm going to model that for my kids.
Yeah.
No matter how hard this is, no matter how many fires I have to walk through, I will not model putting up with an abusive relationship in front of my kids. Yeah. Hell no.
And that's like, I kind of want to, I guess, like transition from there into forgiveness. Because that's where forgiveness comes up for me. And I know, like, you know, you'll hear a lot of things from people when you're estranged from your mother, but she's your mother. You should just forgive her. She's done so much for you. You know, and the list could go on and on. And, you know, I know that we talk about this in the Estrangement Project. We have a whole video on forgiveness and how we have to forgive ourselves.
It's the only forgiveness that matters.
Yeah.
Literally.
You don't have to forgive your mom for all the horrible things that she did. You know, I could sit here and give my list. They are unforgivable. I will never forgive some of the things that has happened to me.
Yeah.
But I do, like, find myself kind of being in a space of I need to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I sit in a place of why didn't you do this so much longer ago, you know, why didn't you do this? Yeah. Like when this happened, you know, and I have that list with myself.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until my son was 9 years old and he started getting hurt by the same behaviors that then I was able to like realize, oh, it's not me. I'm not crazy for feeling these feelings when these behaviors happen. Right. Because you're right. These are really fucked up behaviors.
Yes.
You know, and I have to forgive myself as a parent for allowing that around my son for as long as I did. Because cutting off your own mom is really hard.
It's like one of the hardest possible things you can go through.
And I want a mom. I want my kids to have a grandmother.
Yeah.
And we talk about missing that person and what that means in the Estrangement Project. But Maggie, have you gone through like how you've had to forgive yourself?
Yes. That's been, I feel like, the focus of my healing work for like 5 or 6 years now. As a therapist, I get so hot. Mm-hmm. My clients just know when they're like, I don't see clients anymore for counseling, but they would be like, I mean, I'm so mad at myself or something. And they like look at me and they're like, oh God, here she goes. Cause like, I will not allow you to beat yourself up and like act like forgiveness is required for healing. It's not, it's fucking not. Like, it's just not, that's bullshit. Like whoever says that does not know what they're talking about. The only forgiveness here that matters at the end of the day is forgiving yourself. Mm-hmm. There are so many narratives out there that are so damaging that like, oh, all the ones about forgiveness and how you have to, and you're like, you're keeping yourself in this place and it's actually a gift for yourself. Like, here's the deal. I have unconscious level parts of me that will never fucking forgive her for what she did. They just won't.
Right.
Like, again, it's a bear that tried to maul me over and over again. Would you forgive a bear that tried to, like, no, you wouldn't.
Poor bear.
And like, as much...
That's what society sounds like. Poor bear.
Yes. Right. That poor bear that just
was bananas.
Rabid. Yes. But like, there are parts of you that will not ever forgive her. And so I get so frustrated because I've had so many clients over the years.
Yeah.
Like, work with therapists sometimes or on their own doing conscious level work.
Yeah.
Right. Consciously thinking, I forgive her and like wanting to forgive her. But then having moments where they're like, wait, I thought I had forgiven her. Right? I thought I was past this. And like, there are parts of us that will never, ever, ever forgive her. And I think there's a spectrum of like forgiving her, trusting her again, letting her into your heart. Like, there, I think it's just makes a lot of sense that when there's something as a repeated threat to your survival, and when shame is weaponized, it is an absolute threat to your survival in childhood and adulthood, but especially in childhood when you're a defenseless child.
Right.
And this is your attachment figure being reckless with their impact. And so I'm just so done with like people beating themselves up. So like, I thought I had forgiven, and like, apparently I haven't. And like, what's wrong with me? Nothing is wrong with you. Like, if you feel like you can get there, great. But like, maybe we can say parts of me, and really it's our highest self, can have compassion for her and recognize
that she is
a woman with unhealed trauma.
Right.
And the unhealed trauma hijacked her. And like, that's why we're here. Like, it's not because of who this person is deep down inside. I believe she's a good person deep down inside. But her unhealed trauma hijacked her to a place where she was not able to be the loving, nurturing, empathetic mother I needed. Right?
Right.
And so, anyway, I get so hot on forgiveness on that topic. It's like steam coming out of my ears, fire coming out of my ears. But
I think that's like where healing is like, I don't think I don't think you have to forgive to heal, but I do think that like, as you go on your healing journey, the anger moves and changes.
It does. It helps you heal.
And then it does. Through, and then like, you don't stay in that anger forever. You know, like you might talk about that unforgivable moment and that anger comes up for you still. Right. But that anger, but that anger does change and move. You're not living in the anger all the time anymore. I think that as you go on your healing journey, you do get to places where you have some compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think like, especially for you and I, who are both clinicians, daughters, you know, and on this journey, I think that you get to a place where I can very much like, clinically, I totally understand her. Right.
Right.
I can sit here and like clinically explain her all day.
Oh, yeah.
And I have so much compassion about what she's been through, her road, you know, why she is the way she is, how she showed up for me and why, you know, I totally get it. And then there's my little girl self that's like so wounded.
Yeah.
And has to do all this, you know, like, healing work. Like,
it's such bullshit that like, never once have I ever gotten an apology.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And yet I'm expected to apologize.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, it's just so backwards. Like,
it's so backwards.
How can I possibly have empathy at this point after having such excessive empathy for her my whole life and never getting empathy back?
For 30 like years.
A hallmark of my mother's disorder is lack of empathy.
Yeah.
And I'm just at a place where it's like, I'm the one who needs the empathy. I needed it then and I need it now.
Yeah.
And if there's any empathy to go around, I'm going to keep that all for myself. Thank you very much. And my kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like, at some point, someone doesn't deserve my empathy.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
But I think the way that I have approached forgiveness and forgiving myself, the internal family systems theory framework just completely changed my healing journey when I found it like 5 years ago. Because it explains that we have parts of us holding pain that are called exiled parts. They're like little us. And then there are other parts of us that are trying to protect us when that pain gets activated. We're in a situation that feels kind of familiar in a way that's painful, feels familiar in any way. Our nervous system gets activated.
Yeah.
And then there's our highest self, which IFS calls self. And I can never remember the 8 C's that define self, but I know curious, compassionate, creative, clarity. And so that stunning clarity and the compassion that's genuine is in self. And so the last five years of my healing journey have been about listening to the protector parts when they get all activated and following that to the exile, the pain that I need to unload, and kind of living in a self-led life, which is what they call it in IFS, like trying to live from self as much as possible. And from self, I have the forgiveness and the compassion. I mean, to some extent, there's still parts of me that are very loud and like on the wall, like, okay, well, I'm not putting my weapon down. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, parts of you maybe can get there and parts of you can't. And like, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with us. Like, when you go through extreme emotional abuse and neglect, like, it would be kind of concerning if we could just forgive.
Yeah.
Like that just feels kind of unnatural when you think about the way that our body processes like a bear and a text, a shitty text, like the same. You know, a threat to our survival is a threat to our survival.
Yeah.
And so I think these parts are doing a really good job taking care of us. But from self, I can be like, okay, I hear you. I get it.
Yeah.
Have a seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And so yeah. I would say the forgiveness of her and the forgiveness of myself kind of depends if I have a part hijacking me, mm-hmm. like my inner critic part, which I see as a cluster of parts that wants to like beat me up for how this is going or whatever, you know? Yeah. And it's like my job to be like, oh, you're a part. Okay. Unhijack, unblend back into self. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
In self, I have a lot of compassion for myself and I have quite a bit of compassion for her too.
Yeah. It's so hard, which is why we created the Estrangement Project. Let's kind of talk about what we cover in the Estrangement Project. And
we literally sat down at the beginning of this and we were like, all right, let's build out our dream workshop. What did you need, Abby? What did you need, Maggie? And yeah. Like point for point, we're like, ooh, let's do a video on that. Let's do a video on that. Like we built the exact thing that we both needed. After, I mean, I've been going this healing journey for 11 years now of estrangement.
Right.
And like, I feel like there's videos that kind of meet people where they are, whether you're at the beginning of your healing journey, yeah. whether you're thinking about going no contact, yeah. or you're starting to like experiment with boundaries, or you've been no contact for a month or, you know, inside of it, like wherever you are, we're really trying to cover like the whole spectrum.
Yeah, we do.
Everything we could possibly think of. In fact, I just made Abby add a new video 2 weeks ago. But it was one thing I was like, we're talking about this.
But it was probably one of the most important ones.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. That's the one about why your mother cannot be the mother you need her to be.
Yeah.
Which we touched on in other videos, but it felt like it needed its own video.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about how to handle when people, next door neighbor, in-laws, whoever, judge and shame you mm-hmm. for like the but it's your mother bullshit. Mm-hmm. We talk about, you and I have a video on the fallout within your family
yep.
and how we've created our own chosen family and like navigated the grief there.
Yeah.
You and I have one too about like people pleasing and seeing that as a stress response known as fawn trauma response, fawn stress response, and how that impacts our ability to regulate our body. It impacts our attachment with our mother. It impacts our self-worth. Mm-hmm. Talk through all of that.
Yeah.
We've got Michaela Tyson as a mother wound expert, just crushing it. She's got a video on what is the mother wound? How do you heal it? And she and I have a video on how to heal fear of abandonment.
Yeah. And we have so, so many more videos. Like I said, there's 15 videos in this healing love bubble that we are gifting to the world. This is something that would have changed my healing journey. The beginning of my healing journey was so brutal. I was pregnant with fits, birthing fits, and then a pandemic hit, all while like the beginning of these things were happening. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like it was like one thing on top of the other, and I was not okay for over a year.
How could you be though?
Yeah, right? For probably a year and a half, I was really not okay. And I needed community. I got therapy, but I might have needed three times a week kind of therapy. Maybe that would have been different. I was in therapy. I have a very supportive partner, but I desperately believe that community in your healing journey is one of the most powerful tools, just to be seen and heard, you know, finding you, Maggie, Dr. Deering, Michaela, and have building our own little community, making these videos together. Like this has been such a healing process for me.
Me too.
And I just know that if I would have seen something like this when I was in those really, really hard spots, when I was in the middle, when I was getting myself back up, you know, and even now, you know, when we were making these videos, there was so much covered that I was like, I still need to hear these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that like we'll ever not need to hear them.
Right.
You know?
I feel like everything Dr. Deering says, I'm like, wait, say that again.
Say that again.
Or like I find myself rewinding because she's just so brilliant. Like she just like, and she says it in such clear terms. Like she's, even though she's a clinical psychologist, I just feel like she like says it in normal people terms.
Yeah.
And I guess what I normally hear is clinical. I don't know. But like, she's just, she's profound and like Yeah. All four of us. I just feel like, and I like how, like, Dr. Deering lost her mom and kind of had a different experience with another, you know, family member who kind of stepped in, and she had to go through it all over again. And I like how all of our experiences are different in little ways. I just feel like it's what we wanted to do is give you besties. Like, I have not had a good close friend who knows what this is like until you, really.
Right.
I have another clinician friend that we were close for a while, and I just don't feel like it ever got to this level. And so I've helped so many people as a clinician, but I've never been able to be like on a level playing field, right? Where I could like share openly, and it's changed my life.
Yeah.
Like, just to have this. And what I pictured and what kind of made my heart explode when we were in the beginning stages of planning this was like imagining me 11 years ago sitting in front of a computer and seeing four brilliant women talking about how brave you are.
Yeah.
Like, if I could have had, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. Yeah. Like, you're being so brave. There's nothing wrong with you. It's terrible that you ended up in the situation, but we see you. Like, it would have changed my whole life.
Yeah.
And how much quicker I would have gotten to all these insights and healed. Just, I'm such a rule follower. And so sometimes I like on social media, somebody will say something and I'm like, wait, we can do that? You know, I can think that way.
Yeah.
Yes, Maggie, you can, but I'm such a rule follower. Anyway, I just feel like we've given everybody this four besties, and it's so warm and it's so inviting, and I just can't wait for it to impact the world in the way that we know that it's going to.
The videos are so warm, so inviting. So you are going to feel so seen in them. Mm-hmm. I think that that's the most important part.
And there's enough that you can, I have a couple audiobooks that I've just listened to. I'm like basically always somewhere in the book and I hope a lot of people, that's certainly what I would have done. Just listen to these videos, kind of like, I haven't listened to that one in a while. Let's do a tune up.
Yeah.
Cause you're right. So many of these things we can hear it, but there's a point where we're ready to hear it in a different way. Mm-hmm. And we've healed to a place where now we hear it on a different level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Magic.
So make sure that you go find the Estrangement Project. Maggie and I also have a lot of other fun things in the works on this topic of estrangement. We are planning a retreat for this year, and we have some other exciting things coming. Stay tuned. But Maggie, tell my listeners where they can find you.
Yeah, so you can find The Estrangement Project at theestrangementproject.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Maggie with Perspectacles.
Yeah.
Perspectacles, I don't know if I talked about this. I don't think I did. But they're just like this magic pair of glasses that you put on, and you can see things more clearly. You can see why things are bothering you, or why you don't need to feel guilt and shame. Or I use them with parenting as well.
Yeah. I love your perspectives.
Thank you.
Yeah. Maggie, thank you for joining me and having this conversation. And mostly, thank you for doing the Estrangement Project with me and being on this journey with me. It has been life-changing for myself. And it is some of the most important, powerful work that I think that we will ever do for others. So it has been an honor being with you on this journey. I love you so much. I'm going to start crying. And thank you for supporting you, the mother.
Thank you.